were lucky enough to walk out. Others were removed in bottles. Esk peeped between the slats. These weren't students. They were wizards, quite high ones, to judge by their robes. And there was no mistaking the figure that climbed onto the lecturer's dais like a badly strung puppet, bumping heavily into the lectern and absent-mindedly apologising to it. It was Simon. No one else had eyes like two raw eggs in warm water and a nose bright red from blowing. For Simon, the pollen count always went to infinity. It occurred to Esk that, minus his general allergy to the whole of creation, and with a decent haircut and a few lessons in deportment, the boy could look quite handsome. It was an unusual thought, and she squirreled it away for further consideration. When the wizards had settled down, Simon began to talk. He read from notes, and every time he stuttered over a word, the wizards, as one man, without being able to stop themselves, chorused it for him. After a while, a stick of chalk rose from the lectern and started to write on the blackboard behind him. Esk had picked up enough about wizard magic to know that this was an astounding achievement. Simon had been at the university for a couple of weeks, and most students hadn't mastered light levitation by the end of their second year. A little white stub skittered and squeaked across the blackness to the accompaniment of Simon's voice. Even allowing for the stutter, he was not a very good speaker. He dropped notes, he corrected himself, he ummed and ahed, and as far as Esk was concerned, he wasn't saying anything very much. Phrases filtered down to her hiding place. "Basic fabric of the universe," was one, and she didn't understand what that was, unless he meant denim, or maybe flannelette. "Mutability of the possibility matrix," she couldn't guess that at all. Sometimes he seemed to be saying that nothing existed unless people thought it did, and the world was really only there at all because people kept on imagining it. But then he seemed to be saying that there were lots of worlds, all nearly the same and all sort of occupying the same place, but all separated by the thickness of a shadow, so that everything that ever could happen would have somewhere to happen in. Esk could get to grips with this. She had half suspected it ever since she cleaned out the senior wizard's lavatory. Or rather, while the staff got on with the job while Esk examined the urinals, and, with the assistance of some half-remembered details of her brother's in the tin bath in front of the fire at home, formulated her unofficial general theory of comparative anatomy. The senior wizard's lavatory was a magical place, with real running water and interesting tiles and, most importantly, two big silver mirrors fixed to opposite walls so that someone looking into one could see themselves repeated again and again until the image was too small to see. It was Esk's first introduction to the idea of infinity. More to the point, she had a suspicion that one of the mirror Esks, right on the edge of sight, was waving to her. There was something disturbing about the phrases Simon used. Half the time he seemed to be saying that the world was about as real as a soap bubble or a dream. The chalk shrieked its way across the board behind him. Sometimes Simon had to stop and explain symbols to the wizards, who seemed to Esk to be getting excited at some very silly sentences. Then the chalk would start again, curving across the darkness like a comet, trailing its dust behind it. The light was fading out of the sky outside. As the room grew more gloomy, the chalked words glowed and the blackboard appeared to Esk to be not so much dark as simply not there at all, but just a square hole cut out of the world. Simon talked on about the world being made up of tiny things whose presence could only be determined by the fact that they were not there. Little spinning balls of nothingness that magic could shunt together to make stars and butterflies and diamonds. Everything was made up of emptiness. The funny thing was, he seemed to find this fascinating. Esk was only aware that the walls of the room grew as thin and insubstantial as smoke, as if the emptiness in them was expanding to swallow whatever it was that defined them as walls. and instead there was nothing.